greeting my students every single day. That's a job that nobody takes away from me. I'm the one who needs to open the gate and be there greeting every single student every day. And I haven't learned all the 308 names, but I'm getting closer where I
meet
every student by the name. And yeah, and they all know me. And then when I'm not there because I'm caught in traffic or something, they ask me, "Hey, director, you were not here today." And they, because they miss seeing there, and even the parents ask me, "Are you okay? And you were not at the gate today," you know, and that is very lovely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Javier Bolivar. Javier is the superintendent at Adelante Charter School District in Santa Barbara, California. Javier, it is lovely to have you here today.
Hi, how are you? It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying, I'm looking forward to our conversation. So tell us a little bit about Adelante Charter School and maybe some demographics and where your passions lie there.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad to share about our schools. Adelante Charter School is gonna be 25 years old already next month in November.
We congratulations.
Are getting ready. Thank you. We're getting ready for the celebrations and to kind of honor what we have done and the history of bilingual education in Santa Barbara and also in California. And it's a small school in the heart of Santa Barbara, and about 308 students that we have here. And they come from a variety of backgrounds. We have some kids who are English learners. They come from families who do not speak English. We also have kids who are bilingual because, you know, they are second, third generation,
right,
or they are the youngest one in the family and they have already learned English in the preschool or from their other siblings. And we also have English-only students. They come from family who speak no Spanish or no other language at all. So we have basically like a third and a third and a third. So in order to make our program valid, that's what the research says, that a dual immersion program should have a third of each group of kids. In that way, we can have a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Nice.
We are a dual immersion school, so our this starts in kindergarten, it goes the way up to sixth grade, and our kids start in kindergarten by being fully immersed in Spanish. All the instruction all day is primarily in Spanish. The first contact with literacy and with math and all of that is in Spanish. And for everybody, regardless of the student is, if the student doesn't speak any Spanish, all the instructions are in Spanish. They have a few minutes a day, about 20 to 30 minutes a day when they do some English language development, and it's basically oral. They learn about some language skills in English, you know, all of those words that probably do not transfer from Spanish to English, and they learn a little bit of grammar, English grammar and vocabulary, and this is in English, but only for one small portion of the day. As they progress and they go to other grade levels, the amount of English increases. For example, in first grade, the ELD or English language development time is a little longer. In second grade, they have a full period of maybe 45 minutes a day when they take English. And then in third grade, they already started having an English period where they started English grammar and literature. They read in English, but they also continue having math in Spanish. Math is in Spanish all the way from kindergarten through sixth grade.
Okay.
We also have science, and we study language through science, a lot of science in here in the school. So this is basically what we are. But on the other hand, we are also a well-rounded school. We offer the student a very vast dance program and arts program and music program and, of course, physical education. Our students receive one class every day of whether it is music and the next day is art and the next day is dance and the next day is PE. And we also are contracted with a company that is called Explore Ecology. So we are a garden teacher.
Oh, neat.
where the kids learn about gardening and planting and seeding and studying the plants. And we have a small garden in the school. That's where the kids kind of, the garden class is outdoors, of course. We have a small space that is outdoor.
But you're in Santa Barbara, so outdoors is beautiful.
Outdoors is beautiful almost every day. So we enjoy a beautiful day every day of the year, which is amazing. Yeah. We are so privileged to be here. We are so lucky. So, and our dance class is also outdoors. We don't have a dance studio because, I mean, our school is small. We don't have a dance studio. So the teacher teaches dance outside. Is outside, and of course physical education is outside. Music, we have a music teacher, the only class that is taught in a studio for a classroom just for art is the art class. The students go to that art class, you know, every grade level there is a schedule and they go, you know, one group every day, the teacher has a schedule and the kids go to her class. So that's basically what we have. We have a strong literacy program in Spanish. The school has been in existence for 25 years, like I say, but the last 3 years we have made amazing growth. This is my fifth year in the school. My story is very short with, or my history is very short with Adelante. That's what I meant, because I only came in 2021, right after COVID.
Okay.
But we have done amazing growth. Our scores has grown so highly in all areas, in language arts and also in mathematics from the state tests. As you probably know, the state tests are taken in English, but we do our instruction in Spanish and all grade levels. But starting in third grade, they do some English, but they take the state test in English. In both subjects, English and math. And our kids are doing well. Last year, we received the honor to be one of the California Distinguished Schools in California.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
We had a great attendance. Our kids come to school every day. We have a very beautiful culture where we have no suspensions. We have not sent one single child home in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So our kids are very engaged and they love being here. And we are maintaining above 95% daily attendance, which is amazing for these days. So families believe in the school and we are working very hard to be here. And our kids also enjoy a musical every year where they audition and they put a whole performance of an entire musical every year. And it's so big in this school because the kids have to audition to be part of the cast of the we have done, and last year was Lion King, the year before that was Aladdin, the year before that was The Wizard of Oz, and this year we are, and it was Willy Wonka last year, 2 years ago was Lion King, and this year we just announced that we are doing Beauty and the Beast. So the students are excited, and that's a super big deal in our school. The rehearsals start in January, and the performance is in May.
So they work hard. Yeah,
they work really hard because these are elementary age kids starting in third grade. They work really, really hard to put that musical together, that show, and it's a super high caliber show. And me being a musician myself, and I support the arts and I support what they do in music, singing, dancing, all of that. So this is one of the things, and we also have after school programs. With a little funding that we received from the state, we also invested in the kids. We have a theater program in the afternoon. We have reading tutors. We have math tutors. So we are, we have more garden also in the afternoon. We have a garden program, and it's called El Jardín, and in Spanish, the garden, where the kids learn about gardening, about, you know, we are in Santa Barbara. We take advantage of that. You can be planting seeds and planting all year long. You know, you just need to wait for the spring to come. You know, I'm used to that. I understand that. I went to school in Ohio and I work in Wisconsin. I understand how beautiful it is to be able to produce every single month of the year.
Yeah.
So
all year round. Yeah.
This is kind of where my school is.
Yeah. 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 So, so you said you worked in Ohio and Wisconsin. Were you in a similar kind of school, or was that different?
In Ohio, I went to graduate school. I went I was a student in Ohio. I went to Bowling Green State, which is northern Ohio. But in Wisconsin, I was a school principal for 4 years in a dual immersion school. Yes.
Yeah, it gets cold up there.
It gets very cold. I was in Madison. I was in a dual language program over there in Madison. Right. But of course, I decided to come back because I wasn't very fond of the cold weather.
Yeah.
It was very hard to be there. I was there for 4 years, but I actually never enjoyed it.
Yeah. I lived in Michigan for 19 years and have lots of my heart is still up there to a certain extent. My son is there and lots of people that I love very much are still up in Michigan. But 4 years ago, we moved down to Corpus Christi and we moved down to do the snowbird thing and we never left. I tell people we're failed snowbirds, but there you go. But it's beautiful. And I'm not a fan of the cold, but, you know, it just is. If other people live in there, and there are people that love winter, and good for them. But I'm definitely a warm weather person.
I really respect it, but I learned to, I really learned that I didn't enjoy it. You know,
It's not for everybody, right? Yeah, and the hot weather isn't for everybody either. I mean, it gets really humid and hot here as well. Yeah. So Santa Barbara, though, you get pretty even all year long. So that's one of the beautiful things.
Nothing like the California coast, where it's kind of even all year long. So that's hard to compete with.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. The only problem is it's expensive to live there too, isn't it?
Super expensive. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You pay for the weather.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah. It's location, right? Location, location, location always. Yeah. So, so the kids are in Spanish. I'm curious. I want to dig a little bit if you don't mind. Just cause I love the idea. I love you. Before we started and I was reading the notes of the person that interviewed to get you on the podcast. And she said, every single person in your school is bilingual. So how do you manage? Like, is it just a natural thing that, because I know Southern California, there's a lot of people that speak Spanish. Is that part of what makes it easier? Or how do you find everybody that's qualified to do exactly what you guys are doing? I'm curious.
It's not easy. It's not an easy task to find highly qualified people. It's just being part of the culture of the school, but it's not easy because, you know, not a lot of people get the bilingual credential. And in our school, everybody's bilingual, from the school office personnel to the custodial personnel, the instructional assistants, teacher, all the way up to the principal, to me, bilingual. But it's not easy. You know, we need to really be very aggressive when it comes to hiring and make sure that we are competing, because we are a small school in some other school district, the salaries are a little bit higher. And of course in Santa Barbara, that's very important. But it's been part of the culture of the school, and people want to work over here. Even though we don't pay as much as Santa Barbara Unified School District pay, but people want to be here. The culture, the you know, having a school where the kids don't fight, when the kid don't get suspended, where the parents are engaged and the parents love the school, that is also very attractive to people. And I also teach. I've been teaching at University of California in Santa Barbara, and in the education department. So I had the opportunity to get to know those candidates that are graduating. And if we need a teacher, I'm the one right there speaking with them. Hey, make sure you apply for that school. And so it's not easy, but we are able to manage it, to find, we don't deny that. Of course, if you are a teacher, you need to have a bilingual credential. That's no question.
And that's your school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to be bilingual. You need to have a bilingual credential. But when it comes to the rest of the personnel, the school is such a big thing in the area that people want to work over here. So finding other bilingual people to apply when they see that there is a job opening is not very hard. We've been lucky that everybody, and the only person that we only have one teacher who is not bilingual, which is the art teacher, but everybody else in the school is completely bilingual. So that's amazing. Yeah, that's also the intention of the program, because we are modeling the language and we want to show our kids that we Latinos, bilingual people, you know, that we are here in these positions and the kids can say, oh my God, my teacher, my principal, everybody is bilingual, and that makes the kids very, Spanish has a very high status over here. Spanish has a super high status because, you know, everybody speaks it, and we are and models. But we also have some teachers who are not native Spanish speakers, but they are bilingual and they work over here.
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made up of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. That's neat. Yeah. That's neat. Mm-hmm. I wish I was. I'm not. I'm absolutely not. I'm absolutely not. And as a speech therapist, you know, you study language development. Boy, the best way to do it is when they're little. When they're little. Get them when they're little. And to be truly bilingual, you know, it's best to do it from the time that they're born. And just start talking to them in both languages, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's the beauty of our brains and how they work. These little kids are just sponges and they soak it all up. And they eventually, like, separate the languages out in their own brain. Those neural pathways figure it out. And it's amazing. It's just truly... truly incredible.
It is amazing. We raise our own son. We have one child, and we raise him bilingual, in a bilingual home. I didn't learn to speak English until I was 27. So I'm still an English learner. It's very hard. Yeah. I've been dealing with that, you know, since I was 27 years old. But I want the kids to have that privilege and to expand their brain, to expand their horizon as human beings, as citizens, to be able to navigate into different languages.
Yeah, and your son probably doesn't have an accent in either language because he learned
either language, and that's the beauty. He turned around this side and he can speak in English because he was born here, and then turn on this side and speak in Spanish, and he's with both, he's perfectly, you know, 100% capable of speaking both.
Your English is very good, obviously. It is.
I'm struggling, and every day I try to.
I love the accent. As a speech therapist, I love your accent. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful accent.
I struggle, and my son tells me the same thing. Sometimes I say, "Oh my God, I cannot get rid of my accent," and he say, "Dad, your accent is beautiful. Don't get rid of it.
Don't get rid of it. It's part of who you are. It's part of you. Absolutely. So in Spanish, I'm curious, because again, this is the speech therapist in me coming out. So when you're teaching, because they're like in English, there are dialects, right? There are, and certainly Spanish that's spoken in Mexico and in Spain and in Honduras or Guatemala or whatever, they're all have their own like pieces. So what do you standardize to, I guess is my question.
We don't use a standard Spanish. Spanish is Spanish. Like you just say, you know, when I go to Spain or I got some friends who are from Spain. Sometimes the way they conjugate the verbs is very different. And they use words that I don't use, and I use words that they don't use, but we all understand. In here, most of our Spanish is, of course, Spanish of the U.S. and mostly from Mexico, because however we have a teacher from from Argentina. We have myself, who is from South America, from Venezuela. We got another teacher from Venezuela. We have some student teacher who speak kind of the Colombian accent, but it's the same one, and mm-hmm. we enjoy having the diversity. But, you know, Spanish is Spanish, and of course, like I say, even in Argentina, they when they speak, they conjugate the verbs very differently, or they pronounce words very differently than a person from Colombia or a person from Puerto Rico or something. But is basically the same. It's the same standard Spanish. But yes, maybe more the South American Spanish more than the European Spanish.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Dialects. It's just dialects. Absolutely.
We have a couple of teachers who they are from California and they are Mexican descent, but they went to school in Spain. So they understand both, but, you know, and they sometimes they sound out or they pronounce a word the way that people from Spain do. But, you know, we all understand each other.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's great that the kids can see that and know that, you know, and it's just like English. I mean, you speak English they say if you're from the Midwest, it's the easiest English to understand. But, you know, if you go to the Bronx, you know, they have a very Italian flair there. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
And you go to the South and you get the twang and, you know, and in Texas, y'all, we talk about y'all, you know, that's what we do here.
Exactly.
But and I love that because it's just a part of what makes America so beautiful is that there's mm-hmm. so many different ways that people live. And yet we are all here pulling for the same thing, which is beautiful. So I love what you're doing.
I always recommend a book by her name is Kim Potoski. She wrote a book that is called The Spanish in the USA. And it's a big book, and I read it with my students at the university because I want them to understand that there is only one Spanish. And when some of our kids who are Mexican descent and they go to Mexico and they kind of make fun of them because they don't speak the right Spanish, but they do. It's just a different Spanish. It's the Spanish of the U.S. that mixes with a lot of English words and a lot of... But it's still Spanish. And as far as you can understand the message, it is okay that the linguistics say, you know, the linguistics say, if you understand the message, it's okay. You can communicate.
I'm always impressed with people, and I have some really great friends who in Corpus we have a lot of Spanish speaking, a big Hispanic population here, which I'm learning because I was up in Michigan. I didn't mm-hmm. I had a little bit of it, but not what I have down here. And I've made some really great friends who are bilingual, and Spanish is their first language, and English is their second language.
Yeah.
But they switch. They'll be talking in Spanish and immediately switch to English. And I'm like, ugh, I covet that. It's one of my biggest sins, right? I'm coveting it.
And that is part of the Spanish in the U.S. is called code switching. They are always switching the code. But if you are bilingual, you understand. If you switch the code, it doesn't matter because you can still follow. That's one of the beauty. However, you need to make sure that, like I tell my students all the time at the university, you need to always try to go to the next layer in Spanish so that you can actually sustain, you know, pretend that you are in a job interview in Spain or Mexico or Argentina. You cannot be switching the code because they're not going to understand you. And they're going to say that your Spanish is no good. So we need to have both. In the U.S., I switch the code all the time because in my school, for example, in California, you can go to any store, any supermarket, and the people who work there are bilingual, and they understand if you switch the code. But if you are only speaking to a person who doesn't speak English or Spanish, and if you switch the code, they're going to look at you weird because it's, what are you saying? You know, and that is part of the Spanish in the U.S., switching the code all the time.
Yeah. And I know the reason that they do it is because they're, you know, it's a husband and wife, and, you know, they're speaking to each other in Spanish about something, and then they'll switch, and I'll be like, What it? That's just it. Just fascinates. I'm a language person, so it just fascinates. They're not doing it to be rude either. And it's a very casual conversation. You know, we're not. But I love the fact that you're teaching people that that is something that isn't appropriate in all situations as well, which is great.
Mm-hmm. You need to understand that it couldn't. I don't want to say appropriate or misappropriate, but it is kind of different. You know, if you if you travel to Spain, if you are switching the code, then they might not understand, they might not follow you. And it's better to make sure that, you know, if you are bilingual, if you consider yourself a bilingual person, it's not just within your small community that everybody switches the code. You need to go a little bit broader than
that. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. So Javier, great conversation. I loved it. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Where do people go to learn more about your school and your program, and maybe even a little bit more about you?
Well, we have a website, and like I say, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the school. We have adelantecharterschool.org, and they can see what we do. And if they are in the community in California, or if they are educators and come by for a vacation or something, they are welcome to come anytime and visit us and see that what I'm speaking is actually the entire truth. You know, we are a very small school, and we don't have the fanciest or the most beautiful building in the world, but we have one of the most beautiful schools that I, in my 27 years in education, one of the most beautiful schools that I've seen. And fantastic. The parents, and I'm out there greeting my students every single day. That's a job that nobody takes away from me. I'm the one who needs to open the gate and be there greeting every single student every day. And I haven't learned all the 308 names, but I'm getting closer.
Good for you.
Student by the name, and they all know me. And then when I'm not there because I'm caught in traffic or something, they ask me, "Hey, director, you were not here today," because they miss seeing there. And even the parents ask me, "Are you okay? And you were not at the gate today," you know. And that is very lovely. Yeah. We are a small school, and again, in the website, you can see what we do, who we are, and our scores last year in the spring of 2024 were amazing. That gave us the recognition of being one of the top 5% schools in California. There are about 6,000 schools in elementary schools in California, and they choose 300 for this recognition, and we were one of them. And this year, our scores that are being released today at 10 a.m., they were released today at 10 a.m. Pacific time, our scores from spring of 2025 were even better than last year.
Nice.
Yeah, we have amazing growth in the last, and we are now one of the top schools in the city of Santa Barbara and one of the top schools in the county as well in the state.
Beautiful. And for those of you that are listening, today is October 9th, 2025, but this will likely be, the recording will drop probably at the beginning of December. So I just always like to tell people, you know, if we, especially if we refer to a specific date I want. And I also want to spell, it's ADELANTE. Adelante. Correct. So that if anybody's listening and they want to look it up, I don't want you to struggle to find it. So I always try very hard to make sure that our listeners have the information that they need to find our guests, because there's so many beautiful stories out there. And I love what you guys are doing. And it's just
when they see the podcast in December, they already can go to the California dashboard and they can see our scores, and they can see how we are ranking in the schools in California, but we are way beyond that too. We want to make sure that people see our scores and who we are, but our school is just an amazing place to be. And Spanish is very elevated. The arts are elevated, and it's not just about reading and writing. We want our kids to have the whole experience.
Absolutely. I think that is just beautiful. And congratulations to you guys. And you're right. Your school is not a score. I know the Don't even get me started because it drives me crazy. That's how we judge our schools, by one score. I'm glad your scores are there, but it makes me crazy that that's the system that we have in place.
I need to clarify that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, beyond that score.
We need to demonstrate growth. We need to show the public that we are doing our job, but at the same time, everything that we do behind the curtains is way more than that.
Yeah, for sure. That's so true. So true. I love that point, because it is. Schools are so much more than their scores. And that's why Brighter Together is here, to so that people like you can tell the story of the amazing things that you're doing with the kids that you're serving, and your passion. I love being able to share people's passion with the world, because that's what we do. You know, we are brighter together, aren't we, Javier?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Are. Thank you. So thank you so much for being on the show. It has been such a pleasure. And I'm excited for you to have another beautiful 25 years. So keep it
up. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.